going through all these trials and troubles, but God wants us to take and to be able to take and help other believers too, to comfort them. Because, you know, what happened? What happened with my shingles? Do I look like I'm in a lot of pain right now? I'm not. Okay, it finally worked itself out. Got through it. But it gave me a new perspective in the aspect of what chronic pain feels like. You know that? I mean, where it wasn't something that would go away. It was constant and it was there. So now I have a new perspective in the aspect of those of you within our ranks, within our church, that are going through this thing of chronic pain. I have kind of an affinity for that. So now I know what that is like. Well, praise the Lord. God did that, and guess what? God brought me through that to the other side, and I was able to deal with it, even though sometimes I got really depressed and frustrated with it. I was able to get through it by the grace that the Lord has given to us. And He even actually showed me what was wrong. Sometimes God does that. But it had a purpose. Because I know that there are some people that I've shared things with and able to do it. God had a purpose in bringing me out on the other side so that I can understand how chronic pain affects people. And guess what? Now I know how to pray for those people. I can pray for them. I know. I identify with that. I can feel it. And I know exactly how much of a struggle it can really be. And sometimes, you know, I know that some people are going through even worse troubles than I would with that. But I do have an affinity now to where I can pray for them. And that may be the purpose of why some of us are going through issues. It may have nothing to do with the other than the fact that God is conforming you to make you into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. That's according to Romans chapter 8, okay? He's made it, His whole purpose for us being saved is to make us into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. Wow! So, this whole thing that happens to us. In fact, let's turn over to that. Romans 8. You know, it's one of my favorite passages, okay? So Romans 8 is a good passage for everybody to grab a hold of and look at. And it's because there's so much in it. In verse 26, well, actually, let's back up to verse 24. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man sees, why does he hope for it? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Remember that definition of hope was confident expectation, right? Likewise, in the same manner, the Spirit also helps our infirmity. You know what that infirmity means? Infirmity is, you know, you ever heard the infirmed? Well, infirmity means the weakness that we have. He says the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for, as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And He that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Wow. So you remember me talking about that aspect of feeling things of other people and being able to pray? Well, you don't really even have to know for sure about things, but God takes and uses you through the intercessory prayer, and the Holy Spirit is taking and He's making it known what the will of God is. And we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Remember that word, God's purpose, okay? For whom He did know, He also predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. So the purpose is that we are being made into the image of Christ. One day, our hope is that we're going to be perfect in heaven. You're not going to arrive there now. But when we get to heaven, we're going to be completely made into the image of Christ, just like Jesus. Except for the fact that Jesus is God, you know. But the image of Christ, we're being made into Him, to like Him, to be like Him. Now, God loves us and He cares for us. And there was many instances in the Scriptures, like in Matthew. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 14 and see something. Matthew chapter 14, verse 14. You know, first of all, you get there, He's up here. He says, when Jesus heard it, He departed from there by boat into a desert place privately, and then the people had heard of it. They followed Him on foot out of the cities. So Jesus has this huge following of all these people that are following Him about, right? And these multitudes of people. And we have a hard time sometimes. You know, we don't understand some of the things with the multitudes of people, you know, that come and go and stuff during the ministry of Jesus. But it says multitudes. That's a lot of people, right? So when He took in Jesus in verse 14, He says, and Jesus went forth and He saw a great multitude. And He was moved with compassion towards them. And He healed their sick. Jesus takes and He is moved with compassion for all people. He loves you. And He cares for you. Right? In 1 Peter chapter 4, I lost that one. I think I got that wrong. I think I'm supposed to be in Hebrews. There we go. Hebrews chapter 4. There we go. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest, Jesus, who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tested like as we are, and yet He did not sin. So let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So when you have troubles and things that are causing suffering, or things that you have no idea how to deal with, or things that take and just drive you down, a burden, do you know what? Someone else had felt that. Someone who was touched with our nerves. Jesus Christ Himself knows exactly how you feel. He knows exactly how you feel when you lose loved ones. That can be devastating. It can break your heart. You may not even know, you know, it's hard to find your way out sometimes. But you know, Jesus said, God said right here, that He is one who identifies with our weaknesses and what happens to us. The pain that we feel and everything. And He's saying that we as believers can come before God's throne. Wow. Do you know what kind of a privilege that is? They couldn't do that in the Old Testament. We have the privilege of being able to take and be in the very presence of God. Do you know that? Through the blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior. He is our intercessor. And He says, let us therefore come boldly. What does boldly mean? That was without fear. Bold. When you see someone that's bold, they step right up to the plate and they're ready to go for it, right? They're going to take and just reach out and grab something right in front of everybody because they'll boldly do it, right? Well, this is what this is, okay? We can boldly come into the presence of God and we can go before the throne of grace, and we can take and make a request that we may obtain mercy. God is a merciful God. And we can find grace to help in a time of need. Wow. So, there used to be a song. It's still around. It's called He Giveth More Grace. As the burdens grow greater. Wow. God can give you more grace. You know, be able to deal with the issues and the things that you're going through. First Peter 5, 7 through 10. This is the part that I was... Actually, verse 6. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all of your care upon him, for he cares for you. God cares what you're going through. Be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, whom you resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So he's saying there's, you know, this local church here, you know, we have people within it that are suffering and going through affliction. But you know, there's an awful lot of stuff going around in our world outside of this church, in other churches, with other believers, in other places other than here in the United States. There are other places they are being afflicted, they are being tortured, they are being persecuted. They have sickness. They have all kinds of things. So he's saying that, you know, they, and Satan, he's trying to cause some problems here. He goes about like a roaring lion, and he tries to cause problems, right? He's seeking whom he may devour. But you know, one of the keys is that we need to cast all of our care upon him. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. So if you cast all your care upon him, you're not carrying that burden by yourself, right? Okay. Now I'm going to talk about something that's difficult for us, too. James chapter 1. And a lot of people have this out there. And it's in the scriptures, and it's something I want you to look at. Let's see, I got to find my little tag here. James chapter 1, verse 2. Now, if you take and you just only read this one verse, it kind of throws things out of whack, okay? So we need to read a little bit in on it afterwards. So my brothers... And believe, brethren, when he's saying this in verse 2, my brethren, that's other believers, okay? Christians. People who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're part of a body of Christ, okay? So you are part of the brethren if you know the Lord Jesus. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. And it's interesting, here again, he's saying various, all kinds of different things. He says, count it all joy. You're supposed to be happy. Are you happy to have trials come and sickness and loved ones die or things like that? Does it make you happy? Okay, no, it doesn't, does it? Is that a truth, that just joy is joy equated to happiness? No. So that's got to be something different, right? So when you're taking in, when you say joy, it's not like the world world's idea of joy. Joy in the world, outside of the church and outside of the brethren, we equate it with, you know, the world equates it with happiness, being happy. Okay? Thankfully, there's a few more verses here, right? Knowing this, that the testing of your faith works patience. So the key here is knowing, right? So when it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing this, okay, that the testing of your faith works patience. But patience, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was going through all the shingle stuff, my pain did not make me happy. It didn't. I mean, it maybe I did not feel good. I wasn't happy. So happy is, I equate that, let's say happy is equated with an emotion, right? You have an emotional response to your condition or the situation that you're in. I'm not happy that someone, my father, died. Yet I had joy. And there's a reason for that. I had joy when my father passed away because I knew where he was at. I was not happy because I lost him. I was not happy that he went to be somewhere else that I couldn't go at the time being. I loved my dad dearly. But I had joy knowing that my father, my dad, was in heaven. No longer suffering. He died from melanoma, from cancer. And he suffered for a long time. If anything, I watched my father suffer great things, great suffering. Yet he always had a smile on his face. And when he was getting close to taking, passing away, it was like the last 3 months he went downhill very fast. But he started telling us, you know, I can't wait to be in heaven, to be with the Lord. And he says, what's really strange, when I go to sleep at night, I don't know if I'm awake or I'm asleep. But he says, I'm thinking of it all the time, of being in God's presence. And I know that when my dad passed away, you know, we were all there, that he went to be in heaven. And I was sad. We were sad. My brothers were there, my mom, when he passed away, and I was sad. I was not happy. But we had joy, and we were singing hymns during my dad's passing, and also when he took anyone home to be with the Lord. We had joy. One of the songs we sang was, I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. And he went to higher ground. And I know that. I have that assurance that he's there. So I have joy even amidst something that was not happy. All right? And that's what this is talking about. So when we look at this, I wrote this down somewhere here. Hang on. Okay, we're going to look. I don't have this on the screen, but I can take it and I can. So here's happiness, okay? And here's joy. Okay, happiness over here from outside of the believer's world. Happiness is a feeling of emotional, you know, remembering of feelings and stuff that is fleeting. So you can be happy for a moment or a period of time, right? And you have what they would equate with it. Oh, that was just a really joyous experience. Well, that experience is fleeting, and it's not going to last. The next minute, in fact, a lot of times you'll see people that really are happy are all of a sudden really down. They lose the feeling of happiness. But you know, people in our world are seeking happiness, and there's nothing that can satisfy happiness as an emotional feeling all the time. It won't happen. You can be the richest man in the world, but If you ever talk to someone who has all kinds of money on their hands, they are always seeking something else. If they don't know the Lord, they're seeking something else and the next thing that will bring them happiness. Okay? On the other side, joy is a state of being. It's mental. It's up here. Joy is something that has lasting power. Okay? It won't go away. Joy is there. It's a mental issue. Over on the happiness side, you know, you're looking to earthly things. Things that will make you feel emotionally secure and happy. Where? Here. Right? It's all here. It's in the present. And if you're looking towards the future, if I could just buy that house, I'll be happy. You buy the house. Well, if I need to, if I can just get all the repairs done, I'll be happy. No, it doesn't look right. I want something else. I need shrubs and landscaping around it. That'll make me happy. And they do it. Oh, those flowers died last year. I'm not happy anymore. I got to plant new ones. And so it goes on and it goes on, right? Well, seek ye first the kingdom of God, right? So when you take and you look at things from a heavenly perspective, viewing things from a heavenly perspective, that is joy, okay? So when you look at it, you look at it from the what I would call living in light of eternity. Okay? So you're going to live in light of eternity, eternal things. When you set your affection on things above, you know, you're thinking about things that are eternal. Remember last week we talked about hope? You hope for eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, anybody that believes in him, should not perish, should not die, should not go away forever, but have everlasting life. Right? That is an eternal hope that can bring eternal joy. Hope in it. Well, we talked about last week about the thing with hope, right? You know, we can, with the fleeting emotion for happiness, you think about, you know, well, I hope that this happens. I hope that, I really hope the stock market performs so I can get some more money so I can retire early. I hope that happens, but it may not happen. In fact, our hope here is pretty fleeting. It doesn't really do anything for us. But we have an eternal hope, so we are full of hope for our future. Remember we talked about Jeremiah 29:11? What was it? It talks about a hope. God loves us, and he's given us a hope for a future in heaven with him. He's also told us that he's prepared a mansion for us, right? You know, I go to prepare a place for you. Well, hey, you know, God's got a place just for you. Wow. I don't know what it's going to be like, but it's got to be better than any house I'd buy here. So, joy is different. So when it's talking about this aspect of counting it all joy when you fall into various trials, that's an interesting way of putting it, when you fall into various trials. In other words, it's when you fall, what happens? You know, I'd be walking along out here and something gets in the way and I trip and I fall, right? So when it's talked, and it was unexpected, I didn't expect that. I didn't expect somebody to stick their foot out and trip me, right? They did it, you know, but it was unexpected. So when it's talking about this, when you fall into various trials, it's like it's an unexpected thing. You're going to take and go into these various trials. Now, if you can, all the trials and the troubles that you have, if they're expected and happening to you, and you know, it's like, huh, I saw that one coming, right? Well, usually it's because of our sin when we see it coming. But when we're being tested and stuff and things happen, it's just things that happen unexpectedly, and it's a various trial. And it's a hard thing sometimes to endure. But he says, count it all joy, knowing this. Now, what we talk about, knowing it, that the testing of your faith works patience. So if you're going to, all kinds of differing things that happen to you, one of the things it did for me with the pain that happened, it did make me irritable. Okay, everybody knows this man over here? Pray for him. Pray for him. He's a brother that's having a really rough time. All right? Jason's having a rough time. And things are going on in their lives. It's like, you know, we've been praying a lot for you and for your family because there's so much. It just seems like sometimes an avalanche of things happen to us. And they're troubling. But just like I said, you fall. You tripped up, and then you fall into these testings and these trials. But he gives you this hope of knowing this, that it's going to work out patience. You're going to count that all joy, right? Because you know that the result is going to be patience. And I'll tell you what, there's times that I was irritable, and when you're feeling pain, things just really do. They rub the wrong way, and you snap. You'll snap back and things like that. And I had to catch myself many times, especially from my lovely wife, sometimes I would snap. And I was working through all that stuff with the pain. I've been doing full-time work and things. And it's just, you do. You get your patience is worn thin. And it's going to take and have these trials and things that happen to you is going to help you develop patience. Which, guess what that is? That's what, over in Ephesians, it says that's a fruit of the Spirit, that patience thing. So eventually, as a believer, you're going to learn that lesson of patience. And he says, but let patience have her perfect work. That perfect work means complete work. Let it work within you that you may be complete and entire, lacking in nothing. Now, are you going to be perfect here on this earth? No. But you're going to be able to, later on, because of what you went through, you're going to be able to cope with what's going on because you're going to have all the, not necessarily all the answers, but you're going to have the ability to be able to deal with issues that come about in your life. Wow. Okay. Then it goes on in verse 5. Because and I think this verse 5 is linked to this. Okay, why am I suffering all these things and the various trials, Lord? I can't take this anymore. You know, help me out. Okay, remember what I talked about me sitting down at this point of frustration, not knowing what was wrong with me? What did I do? Lord, I can't figure this out. What did I ask for? I didn't really ask for the wisdom of it. I just asked him to help me understand it. And guess what he did? Well, look here. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally. And he doesn't upbraid them. He doesn't take him. How do you say this? He doesn't. Upbraiding means to take and find fault in it type thing. I think that's what that means. And it shall be given him. But let him fast in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. You know, at times like that, you're just asking God to give you an answer. And you're asking for wisdom in things. And sometimes we need wisdom in our suffering. And a lot of it has to do with the aspect, Lord, what are you going to do with me? Help me out here, okay? Philippians chapter 4 has something in there, and Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Okay, here's the joy thing again. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, for the Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Now finally, brethren, whatever things are true, and whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, and whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you've both learned and received and heard and seen me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now, when we take and we go through all these trials and tribulations, sometimes they continue for a long time. But God says we can have peace in that. And you know what? You can count it as a joy. Lord, I don't know about you, but I have a hard time. Would you thank God for giving you pain? Well, you know, there's a reason why you can thank God for it, but it's a difficult thing to do, to thank God for pain and suffering and things that you go through. But, you know, it goes back to that thing of counting it all joy. Thank you, Lord, that you have taken and you're going to use me. You're going to bring about these things in my life to taking me make me more into the image of Christ. And the last thing that I have for you today to remember is that God is still in control of everything that happens around you. Everything. Everything that occurs in your life, God knows to every detail. He is the seeing God. He sees you. He counts the hairs on your head. He knows everything in your life. And He's going to take and work it out for your good. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to take and go about for good and say, well, that's a little flippant phrase. We talked about that last week. You know, God's going to work that awful out for good for you. You know, it says that in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Well, you know what? It is true. But it doesn't mean that it's easy. God does work it out for our good. It is for us because He loves us so much, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord in all your ways. Acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. That word direct your paths in the actual language says He is going to make your paths straight. So when you're walking down a path, if the path goes off and around in corners and stuff like that, it's hard to follow a path, right? So you're constantly going like this. But God takes and He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. I'm going to trust you, Lord. Lean not unto your own understanding, and He will make your pathway straight. So that when you're walking one step after the other, it's a straight and it's a path to follow that you're going to be going on. God knows the path that you're going on, whether it be suffering, or whether it be trials and troubles, or loved ones that have gone and passed away. He does know your suffering, and He does know and care for you. You just need to trust the Lord with it. That's all I have for you today. Do not forget to pray for one another. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for being able to take and search out Your Word. And we just thank You that You are a great God and a merciful God, and that You care so much for us. We ask these things in Your name. Just be with Your people as we go home. And we pray that You would give them a good week and help them to follow You. In Your name, amen. You're dismissed.